Hey, welcome Calvary Fellowship and guests to our Church at Home experience. I know that I can't wait to get back live with everybody. I love coming to a worship experience and gathering with God's people. But you know what I also love? I love playing games. Games of all kinds. And not only do I like to play games, I love to win. And you know what? I hate to play games when your strengths are removed, when you can't actually lean into your advantages. So for me, you may have gathered that I also love to talk. So I hate any game where your speaking is restrained, things like Pictionary, things like charades. And so one game that I absolutely refuse to play is this bane of my existence. But recently, my daughter, youngest daughter, had a birthday, and I asked her, I said, what would you like to do today more than anything else? And she said, Dad, watch your mouth. And she wasn't being fresh. It's the name of this game. I think the best thing that I can do is show you this game in action. You see, you start with something that you have to get someone to say, but you first have to place this torture device in your mouth and then read. Well, let me show you. So it kind of works like this. And then see if you can see what I'm saying. For we are God's handiwork. I'm not going to make you do that anymore. I absolutely despise this game. It's so hard to play a game when your greatest skills and your greatest advantages, your greatest strengths are tied behind your back, and you have to figure out a different way to win. And you know, that's kind of life right now with this thing we call the church. We first need to define church. Church is not a building or even a group of buildings, but it is the body of Christ, his followers. And there is a local church, there's a local tribe that we all belong to, but then there's the global church, and that's comprised of churches all over our county, our state, our country, and all over the world who together form Jesus' body on earth. And as a church, we aren't playing a silly game, but we have instead a serious mission. In fact, maybe in some ways as a church, prior to these days, for some of us, maybe we were playing a little bit of a silly game when it came to really living for God, instead of recognizing that we are on a serious mission. But now, with the threat of the coronavirus pandemic and all the ramifications and threats related to that, we know that these are serious times that we live in. And as Jesus' body, we are on a serious mission. But just like me playing that game, our greatest advantage, our greatest asset and experience is hindered in many ways due to the wise but difficult practice of social distancing that we're all experiencing right now. Now, Jesus, of course, is our number one thing. It's our centerpiece. He is our foundation. He is the head. And so he is absolutely everything. But as his body on earth, the greatest advantage we have in him is one another. Now, the Bible is filled with one another's about how we should be living out our life in Jesus with other people, including one of those things is to gather with people together. And historically, in difficult times, people of Jesus came together to encourage one another, serve one another, and rally together. But think about right now, as God's people, there's no mission field that we can all report to. There's no disaster relief site that we can show up to, and we can't even meet together as a church as we are accustomed to doing. So, if you take away not only our greatest advantage, but you also take away the essence of who we are as a people that gather together in Jesus, then the question comes, how do we win in our mission? How do we not only stay strong in Christ, but how do we help one another? How do we help one another along? How do we encourage one another with the message of hope in Jesus? And how do we take this message and share it with the world that needs the hope, the peace, and the joy of Jesus right now more than ever before? And I know this. For some of you today,
Maybe you hear all this talk of mission and all this talk of the church, and part of you says, yeah, I can get with that. But part of you feels like, man, I'm just trying to stay alive out here. I'm just trying to get through all of this stuff without losing my mind. And what I want to say to you is those things aren't different, but they are in fact connected. Now, I would encourage you, if you have your Bibles in front of you, or even if you're with our church at home experience, there's a Bible you can open there. Open up to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Ephesians is a short letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and the second half is all about how we should live out our faith in Jesus, but that is an outflow of the first half, the first three chapters, which are all about our identity in Christ. It's all about who we are. And so, again, if you want to know more about that identity, if you're looking for something to do while you're in lockdown at home, I encourage you, read the first three chapters this week. But for right now, I want to draw your attention to a verse tucked away in chapter 2 that speaks to our identity and our mission. And it's this, and it's a very familiar verse to many of you. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." There is so much in this verse, but what I want to say to you is if you don't have this verse committed to your memory, then go ahead and write this verse down somewhere where you can see it all week. In fact, if you're with our church at home experience, then this is going to show up in the comments right now, and you can copy that and post that somewhere where you can see it later. But first of all, consider this. It says that we are God's handiwork. That word in the Greek is poema, and it's where we get our English word poem. It means workmanship. It's also translated as masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. You are a work of art. God created you intentionally, purposefully. He created you, and you're not a mistake. You're not a chance. You're not an accident. You were created carefully, and you were created caringly. You were conceptualized and created by a God who looks at you and doesn't think you're a piece of work, but God thinks you are his work of art. Now, thinking about works of art, Leonardo da Vinci's painting, Salvator Mundi, and you'll see a picture on your screen, was the most expensive masterpiece that was ever sold. It fetched over $450 million. That is crazy. But do you know that you are worth even more? How in the world can I say that? Because a much higher price was paid for you. You were purchased. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, from a trusted source, Wikipedia, I learned this about the Salvador Mundi painting. It says that long thought to be a copy of a lost original veiled with overpainting, this painting was rediscovered and restored. Think about that. The painting was always a masterpiece. It's just that people couldn't see that before. They couldn't recognize it because it was covered over. Now, in the same way, maybe you don't see the value in yourself. In fact, maybe others don't see that value in you because perhaps sin has covered over us and we've lost our shine a little bit. We're not quite in the image that God created and the image that God intended. But I want to encourage you, go back in Ephesians chapter 2 and read the whole thing and hear your story. It talks about how we were dead in our sins. But the two words that are the game changers for us, but God in Christ Jesus paid a great price for us. Jesus died so that all of our sin could be paid for, so that we as God's masterpiece could be restored and that we could be redeemed. And so that God could showcase our lives to the rest of the world as a picture of what he can do in anyone's life. And as the master, he looks at us and says, voila, look would I have done? And unlike a valuable painting that simply hangs on the wall for display purposes only, we actually have a functional value. We do stuff. We are not just here for eye candy. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, and it says to do good works. You see, this speaks of purpose. Everybody wants to know that their life matters. And in Christ, it absolutely does. You're not only a work of art, but you have a good work that God wants you to do. You have a mission to do something. And here's the beauty of this. Paul is speaking to the church. He's speaking to those good works. So it's not just us as individual masterpieces, but it's all of us as the local church and the body of Christ worldwide. We have a work that we are to do. Now, followers of Jesus, this means that there is a part that you have to play. And here's something important to notice. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Notice this part, which God prepared for us in advance to do. Not only did God create you as a work of art with a work to do, all the ages that you could have been born in, God chose for you to be born right now. In this very moment, in this time, if for a time such as this, he didn't pick the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and man, some great times, but he picked us for such a time of this. And in this time, with everything that we know going on, where our whole lives have been upended and disrupted, he chose you to be alive in him, to be redeemed in Jesus, and placed right now. He chose you and prepared you in advance for this. None of what we're going through catches Jesus off guard. He knew this was going to happen, and you and I are part of the answer for what he wants to do to keep his mission moving forward, even in complicated times. Even in times where it feels like one hand is tied behind our backs and our greatest advantages can't be used, at least in the way that we've traditionally used them. Look at this word work in that verse. It means business. It's the business or the mission that we are to be all about. Now, all of our circumstances have changed lately, but God's mission and work has not. Which is kind of a question that I positioned in last week's message that I've been praying about, and it's this. What is the opportunity before us? In a crazy time like this, what are we supposed to do? When basically our playbook of coming together and doing church the way that we've doing it has been thrown out the window, what are we supposed to do? Well, the good news is we know this. That God's work, as defined in Scripture, hasn't changed. Do you know that we're still called to love? We are still called to serve, to give, to share, and so forth. We're called to do the same thing, but all the methods have to change right now, or we will fail. And here's the good news. Ephesians 2:10 said God created us in Christ Jesus. You see, God is created. We were created in his image. We are all sons and daughters, image bearers of God, and we were created in the image of a creative God, which means we have access to his creativity to keep doing the work that God has for us, that he purposely made us for and placed us here now to do. I get things are crazy, things are different, but we can't discard the mission. What we need to do is reimagine the mission together, to prayerfully, creatively seek God to keep about the business he already proclaimed we should be doing, but to do that in a fresh, new way and to figure out how we can do that together. So listen, this is going to be an ongoing question that we don't answer today, but it's something that we figure out and explore together. But there is something that we can work on today while we spend all the rest of this time figuring that out in the days ahead as we live out our lives together. And I want you to know this. our staff, and so many of our key leaders, we've been watching, we've been praying, we've been responding. We recognize all the challenges that are going on in the world and in our community, and we've been looking to see what God would have us to do to continue the mission when you take away all the advantages that we regularly have. And here's what you need to know. What we want you to know, that we are trusting God at this time, not just to survive, but to thrive during these times. You see, we are playing to win. We're playing to keep the mission, the work that God created us for and planned long ago in all of his purposes. We are planning so that we can keep these things moving forward because you matter. The community that God has placed us in matters. And this means, that, look, a lot of things are going to change. You're going to see a lot of change, a lot of sort of disruption to the old, because none of us know how long this social distancing is going to last. None of us know how long that we're going to be locked down in our homes, but we know that it's probably going to be for a while. It's not going to be anytime soon. So some of you guys have probably been wondering, what in the world is the Calvary staff doing? Are we playing watch your mouth back at the church office? I can assure you that we have actually been far busier than ever. In fact, I was talking to Chip today and he was joking. He's like, man, not having regular church services is a whole lot more work than kind of what we're used to doing. And that's okay, because again, we are doing this because the mission is important. We are shaking things up even as we reassign what people's schedules look like, sometimes what their job description looks like, because we are trying to maximize effectiveness. And I'm asking you to stay plugged in. We're all still, we're all in, and I'm asking you to continue to be engaged as well. Keep giving, keep serving, keep praying, keep believing, because God has a work for us to do. He has a work to do in us, and he has a work to do through us, and all of it counts. I won't pretend. There's a lot of things right now that are uncomfortable and that are stressful. But there is a part of me that is excited, not about all the problems that are going on, but excited how God, through this, because remember Romans 8:28, God doesn't cause all things, but he causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So how God might take this awful thing and use it for his purposes and maybe reimagine, even when this is done, what things will look like in the time ahead. So, as we think about that, let's come back to one important word and apply some of the urgency of mission and creativity of Jesus in this word. It's the word we. It says we are God's workmanship. Not just you, but all of us. We collectively as the body of Christ. When you put us together, powerful things happen. When you take the unique, diverse, wonderful parts of God's body in all shapes, colors, sizes, and flavors, and you allow God to arrange them together as he sees fit, then we see an even greater masterpiece. Consider the picture on your screen right now, and you'll see a wonderful picture of hope. But if you were to zoom in, you would see that this picture is actually a photo mosaic. And that's where a bunch of smaller individual pictures are actually put together and arranged in such a way that it forms a larger, beautiful one. This is us, the body of Christ. We're pretty awesome alone, but we are far better together. God created a work for us to do. And we still have to serve our community. We still have to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to give of ourselves. We all have to do all of the work that God gave us to do. But to get there, we have to recalibrate for these times. You see, the first bit of triage that I'm convinced that we have to do is get us back together. Get the we back in action. Figure out how to reestablish those lines of communication and community so we can talk about and live out God's business creatively. Now, first know this. We've added tech to our weekend service for this purpose, so this can be a little bit more of an interactive experience for you, so we can pray for you in this. We can pray for each other in the comments. We can experience community, and we're going to have staff and leaders moderating and being a part of each of these services to engage with you. We are still here for one another, and I want to encourage you to engage with this too. If this is encouraging to you, hit the like button, hit the share button, hit the send button. Send this out to other people to experience you. But listen, it's not just today. We've always said at Calvary that the Sunday service is not enough. So what we've always done at Calvary is to try to have you dive deeper in our home fellowships, small groups that typically meet in homes to talk, to pray, and encourage one another and explore faith and experience life together. Obviously, the home fellowships are not meeting in homes right now because we're not crazy. Right? We wouldn't want to do that. We wouldn't want to violate what we're supposed to all be doing. However, we are creatively leveraging technology to reactivate them. Here's a question. Does it work? Is it kind of weird to do home fellowships on a device? Well, if you take a look, here's a picture of what this can look like. And we'll keep that up. And I want to share this. This is Kenny's home fellowship. And listen to Kenny's story. He said, "These people are all amazing. In this time of self-isolation, I'm so thankful for technology so we can continue meeting with our home fellowship group. These last 2 hours were joyful even as we all shared our fears and insecurities and vulnerabilities because we also shared encouragement, wisdom, laughter, and prayer. If you're feeling alone or scared during this time, so am I. So is everyone in this picture. But after these last 2 hours, I'm reminded of Jesus' presence and his deep love for me and for us. The coronavirus might be separating us, but it can never separate us from Jesus. He'll continue to pursue you through this. He's the reason for our hope and peace in this time of uncertainty and fear. And I say that not as a cliche, but because I felt that tonight. Reach out to one another, continue meeting virtually so that we can all hold each other up when we feel weak, praying for health and safety for everyone." Isn't that amazing? I talked to Jose, who's in those pictures, and he's the guy that's helping us with the technology for all this. And here's what he said in his experience. You know, by coming together this way instead of live, you miss maybe 10 to 15% of what you could get in that group. He says you narrow it down a little bit if you do the virtual hugs, but maybe you're missing out on 10 to 15% of being live and in person. But what he says is that 85 to 90% is well worth gathering together for what you get out of that. And listen, you don't have to and you should not be going through these difficult times all on your own. I want this community for you. What Kenny described, what his group experienced, I want that for you. So here's what we've done and here's your call to action. We've been working hard to mobilize so you can experience that. And here's what I'm going to say. If you're already in a home fellowship group, maybe it was paused because we're figuring out what to do, keep that going. Move that online. We've got the tools today. But if you're not, if you've not been a part of a home fellowship group and that's something for whatever reason you haven't joined or haven't joined this cycle, I want to encourage you to sign up today. We've invested in the tech so that you can do it for free. And listen, I want to thank everybody who does give to Calvary so that we can make that financial investment so that everyone can participate and lower these barriers. We've made this investment so you can join an online home fellowship starting this week. They're on different nights of the week at different times. There's something that's going to be convenient for you. So don't go this time alone. Tap into the us, especially now. Now, if you're watching this during one of the streams, right in the chat, you're going to see a link to where you can sign up for a home fellowship right now. And I want to encourage you, go ahead and click that and sign up now, or at the end of this message, go ahead and sign up for a home fellowship so you can get in on that. You see, that's the first step of doing this business that God created us to do. Get into a cluster of community, then we can re-engage as we. Now, we've made some big asks of leaders this week, and a lot of people have stepped up to begin to provide a lot of different groups. And I want to say thank you if you're one of those people, and there's still room if you want to be one of those people. We've got lots of home fellowships, but now for everyone else, You've got to do your part, and you've got to actually sign up for one and then show up for one from home. Question, what's going to happen when you do? Well, first of all, think about this. If you've been nervous to go in the past, you've got a fail-safe thing. At any point, you could just click leave meeting, right? And you're not there anymore. But what's going to happen when you are there? First of all, you're going to gather online. And each week, there'll be some questions for you to work through, some application stuff based on the Sunday message that we just had. You're going to talk about how you're doing. And you get to share about that openly and honestly. You're going to get an opportunity to pray for one another, and you're just going to get to experience this life together. There's no books to purchase in this. There's no fees of any kind. So you can just jump right in. There's no barriers. Listen, it's the community you need. It's the community that God created for us. Even in these crazy times of quarantine, while we can't physically come together, nothing can keep us apart. Now, once we get in these groups, that is step one. Because maybe some of you are thinking, man, I was hoping this was going to be a faith over fear message. And listen, that's last week, so you can go back and listen to that. But today, we're trying to get ourselves mobilized. And if you want to find that hope, you want to find that encouragement, my job today is to get you into one of these groups so that you can experience that week by week, continuing to go forward in these cycles. Once we're in these groups, we can talk about how to pray for each other, encourage each other, and we can figure out how to do the mission. How do we love our neighbors in a time like this? These are the things we're going to talk about. How can we serve our community in a time like this? How can we share the gospel? How can we do God's work? How do we, God's work of art, do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do so that we can grow as his people, grow as his church, grow as the body of Christ to shine brightly in dark days when people need us to shine the most, so that we can play to win in the important mission that God has called us to? Because maybe circumstances have taken away temporarily our greatest advantages, and maybe they scare us. But Jesus said, even the gates of hell will not hold us back. It won't stop the overwhelming, powerful momentum of Jesus' church going forward. The truth is, we know if we are on Jesus' side, we will win, because the victory is already won. So let's reconnect with Jesus. Let's reconnect with one another. And let's play to win together in this time, in this season, in this work that he dreamed up for us long ago. Now I want to ask you to pray with me. And you can either pray in your heart, or you can pray this prayer even out loud for the comfort of your home or wherever you're watching this. But I want to say this, whether this is your first time and you say, I want to be a part of Jesus and the community and this we that you're speaking of, or whether you've been a part of that for a long time, I want to encourage you, join me in this prayer, and you can say this. And by the way, if you're saying this prayer for the first time, there's going to be an indication in the chat. You can let us know, and we'd love to follow up with you. But would you bow your heads right now? And if you want to say this prayer, just say this and God will hear you. Just say, dear God, thank you for creating me to be a masterpiece, and for Jesus dying and shedding his blood to redeem and restore the work of art of my life, and to bring new life and shine in me. Right now, I commit myself to you, Jesus, for your purposes. Please forgive my sins. Help calm my fears and concerns, and use me for your works and purposes. Help me to shine for you with all my family in Christ, so we can be a bright light, bringing you hope, peace, and love to our world in these dark times. In Jesus' name, amen.